Well, hey, everybody, and welcome to this week of the Plucking Up podcast. I am excited about this episode because I think that this is the first Plucking Up episode that I have ever done all by myself. I do not have a guest and I do not have a co-host. And what I'm about to share with you is honestly just kind of a real-time thought and experience that I had around plucking up that I wanted to share with you. I think this episode is going to be especially valuable to you if you are a parent or a caregiver of any kind, because the theme of today's show is how plucking up can actually be one of the superpowers of our parenting or caregiving relationships with the kids in our life. And the reason that I'm doing this episode is because literally yesterday, I had this experience that was kind of an aha moment to me. And I started thinking about it and I was like, you know what? I want to share this with my plucking up people. If you're here and you're listening to this show, you know that the entire point of the show is to kind of de-shame and normalize failure and talk about it and learn together through it. And I was driving yesterday, my three little boys. So I have three sons around the ages of 7, 5, and 2. They are actually those ages. I do know my kids' ages, but I don't know. Makes me feel good to have a little leeway in there. So we were driving and my kids had asked if I could put on this audiobook that we were listening to. And so I pulled it up on my CarPlay and I pressed go, but I accidentally pressed maybe a podcast that I was listening to or something. And it wasn't the audiobook. And of course, my kids are always very quick to correct me, you know, said, "That's not the audiobook, Mom." And I said, "Oh, my mistake." And then my middle, I call him my little in the middle, goes, "That's okay. We all make mistakes." And then he goes, "Now you have something to talk about at dinner." And I laughed because what he is talking about is that definitely not every night, but a lot of nights when my family sits around the dinner table, we like to ask questions. In fact, we actually have this card deck that is specifically designed as conversation starters that are appropriate for kids. And so we use our card deck probably a couple times a week where we'll pull a card and then we go around the table and we answer that question. But on nights when we're not doing that, one of my go-to questions that I ask my kids to talk about at the dinner table is, "What mistake did you make today?" And typically, at least in the beginning, Ben, my husband, and I would typically lead the conversation where we start off and first we are the ones that share our mistakes for the day. And then our kids go around the table and they also think and noodle on their mistakes. And we have an entire dinner time conversation about our mistakes. And the reason that we do this is basically the same as the reason that I have this podcast. Everything that I believe about that you're only as sick as your secrets, and that so often we have suffering and then we have shame heaped on top of our suffering, and that we learn so much when we actually engage our mistakes, when we can distance ourselves enough from them that we can actually learn from them. Because if we feel shame, we just go into the spiral and we actually are not in a place of learning anymore. And so one of the richest learning things has probably just happened in our day, our week, our month, our year, our life, and we're actually not able to glean the lessons out of it because we are so mired in shame or embarrassment or regret or whatever emotion we're experiencing. And so part of what I want to do with my children is just normalize making mistakes. And the best way that we can do that as parents is by going first and voluntarily talking about our mistakes, talking about them often, sharing about what we did learn or how our mistakes even made us feel. That's something that I love to include when I'm sharing about my mistakes with my kids, as "Mommy did this and this is how I felt in the moment." Because here's the deal, I still feel all sorts of things. I still feel all of the emotions. I feel sadness, I feel regret, I feel shame, I feel embarrassed, I feel frustration, I feel inadequate. Whatever the narrative is, I really make sure that I share that with my kids because I also want them to know that that's normal. If you find yourself going to that mental or emotional place, you're not alone. That's like a super normal thing. And then I kind of walk through or talk through how I dealt with the mistake. What did I do next? What did I learn from it? And so when my little in the middle chimed in after a relatively small pluck up and said, "It's okay, we all make mistakes." And then even had the upside of going, "Now you have fodder. Now you have an answer to the dinner table question." It was a real, real moment for me of going, "Oh my gosh, it's working. It's working." What these, you know, small acts of discipline over the course, we've probably been doing this for honestly probably 3 or 4 years, is really setting in. And his reaction to seeing a mistake is that it happens to all of us, and that it's not the end of the world, and that we're allowed to talk about it and admit it. And that is leading me to my next, I actually think maybe even more important conversation around mistakes in parenting. And that is the concept of reconciliation and repair. I believe that reconciliation and repair is actually one of the most powerful tools in building trust and in building intimacy in every relationship. And I could talk until the cows come home about why I am such a fanatic around reconciliation and repair. And I mean this in my marriage, in my friendships, in my business partnerships. But I want to talk about it specifically in the context of what it looks like to reconcile and repair with our kids. And I actually believe that it's not plan B. Like, I think a lot of times we think, well, plan A is just be a perfect parent, or not even perfect, but just like good enough that you're not making huge pluck ups that you have to apologize for. That's the goal, right? Like, that's the gold standard, is get as close to perfect as possible so that you have to apologize or repair as least often as possible. I reject that notion. Not only am I saying I don't think it's actually attainable, I'm literally saying I don't think it's the best option as a parent. And here is why. One is because it sets up something that's like quite unattainable to our children, who are going to mess up and they are going to make mistakes in their life. And if they haven't seen up close over and over and over again, it modeled for them what it looks like to make a mistake, how we react to it, how to admit when we are wrong, and how to recover from it. It is literally like part of our job as parents, right? Is teaching and training our children. And we are taking away an entire segment of training. We are kind of robbing them from it if we put all of our time and effort into just making the least amount of mistakes possible, which again is kind of, it's impossible. You're going to make mistakes. So it's kind of a stupid goal in the first place. But second is because I really do deeply believe that when we have a fissure in our relationship, when there is breakage, when we make a mistake, or our kid makes a mistake, or I find most often we both make a mistake. Maybe I make the mistake first and then the way they react is a mistake, or, you know, not to toot my own horn, but more often my kids make a mistake and then my reaction to their mistake is a mistake. When we take the time, and it's so scary, but when we see these fissures actually as an opportunity to rebuild and to repair, I think about it like a muscle. Apparently, when people work out, I don't know much about this, but apparently the way that you build muscle is by actually breaking the muscle down. The only way that the muscle gets stronger is that if the muscle itself is taxed to the point where it starts to break down, and the process of growing muscle is actually rebuilding. Now, somebody who is like a physiologist might listen to that explanation and be banging their head on a table right now. But I think it's like generally true. And for the sake of analogy, we're going to go with it. The muscle becomes stronger than it would have ever been if there had never been a fissure or a breakdown in the first place. And I believe that all relationships are actually like that. We spend so much time and energy trying to avoid conflict, trying to avoid relational mistakes. And of course, there are some relational mistakes that are like, yes, you should avoid those at all costs, because it's going to be real hard to come back from those. You know, like, I will be the first to say that all of our actions have consequences, and severe lacks of judgment or severe breaches of trust or whatever it is. I'm not advocating that you go out and do that for the sake of doing it. But as we are attempting to pursue healthy relationships where both parties feel known, seen, loved, respected, and cared for, we make a mistake. In the process of owning that mistake, talking through that mistake, understanding why we made that mistake and sharing that with our relational partner, giving them the opportunity to share with us how that mistake impacted them, sitting in the discomfort of hearing how our mistakes affect the people that we love, regardless of what our intention was around that mistake. And then asking for forgiveness and granting that forgiveness and reconciling, I truly do believe creates a stronger relationship than if that fissure or breakdown had never happened in the first place. There is a psychologist, I believe she's a child psychologist, named Dr. Becky. She wrote a book called Good Inside, and I feel like she has been talking a lot about this lately, specifically repair and reconciliation, but in the context of our kids. And from what I have heard of what she's talking about, it's really in line with this thought of we could spend our whole life trying to avoid making mistakes, or we could get really good at how we respond to our mistakes. And I just think it's something that many of us from my generation, we did not have modeled to us a parent showing us what it looks like to admit that they're wrong, to acknowledge the impact of their mistake, regardless of their intention, to ask a child for forgiveness and to be granted that. There's a real kind of dynamic shift that happens when an adult asks a child for forgiveness, because what that signals is you matter and you do have power in this relationship and you do have agency, and I'm vulnerably and humbly coming to you and I'm apologizing, I'm owning my mistake, and I am asking you to grant me forgiveness. And my goal in parenting is less to never make mistakes or to be somebody who just so rarely is ever in a situation where they have to make mistakes. Of course, there are caveats to that. Like, there are such enormous, damaging, traumatic mistakes that a parent can make that we should all hope to avoid, obviously. But I am talking about your kind of everyday mistakes, quote unquote, that we make as parents that oftentimes leave us feeling so guilty or sad or overwhelmed. My goal in parenting is less about minimize your mistakes and more about become a parent who is really good at dealing with my mistakes, modeling how we deal with mistakes, and repairing and reconciling with my kids and giving them and seeing that. Actually, the other night, Ben was traveling. He was gone all week, and I think this was on like Thursday or Friday night. So, you know, I'm just like tired, and I don't have my normal emotional probably capacity that I do in normal weeks. And my youngest was like screaming and crying about something, and so I was carrying him upstairs. He's like losing his mind. My middle was doing something loud and rambunctious. And then while all of this is going on, my oldest is like, "Hey, Mom, can you get me some milk?" And I just looked at him and I was like, I can't remember, but I said something real salty to him of just like, no. And does it look like I can get you milk right now? Or just like, I just responded to him in a way. I was just like so frustrated. Like, read the room, bro. Like, read the room. And here's the thing. In some ways, I actually think it's justified. I don't know. There's a lot of like talk in the gentle parenting movement, if you will, about how like we need to separate our emotions from our kids. And I think it's actually really healthy for kids. Like, that's also how you learn. Like, that's a learning experience for my oldest to go like, oh, when a baby is crying and someone else is screaming and my mom looks really stressed and overwhelmed, and I am perfectly capable of walking into the kitchen and to getting a glass of milk, maybe don't ask her for a glass of milk. I actually feel really good about that. I don't think I had to be quite as salty and sassy with him in the moment that I was. And I recognized it. I recognized how it impacted him. It was just like a tone that I don't use with him. And he literally looked up at me and he goes, "Okay, why did you have to say it like that?" And it would be very easy for me to bounce back from that and to explain, "I said it like that because you're at fault for asking me for milk in the middle of a meltdown where obviously that isn't my priority." But instead, I just took it. I said, "Hey, I just need a minute, buddy." And I went upstairs, I dealt with the baby, I changed his diaper, did whatever, you know, needed to be done. And I actually waited a while. I waited until we had gotten through all of the stress of kind of dinner and bedtime. And then as we were laying down in bed, I recall, and things were calm. And my son and I were kind of together and we were laying in bed. And so we were having a moment of connection. And I brought us back to this moment where I kind of was really salty with him. And we talked about it. And I first led with apologizing, with just naming it like it is. Like, I don't want to live in a home where we talk so sassy to each other. And I don't think you want to live in that kind of home either. And so therefore it's a mistake, regardless of what triggered it, it's a mistake. And I was able to just apologize, just say, hey buddy, I'm really sorry. I asked him for forgiveness. He granted me the forgiveness. By the way, I've probably asked my children for forgiveness 500 times. And I don't know that any one of my children has ever denied me forgiveness, which I just think is really powerful. And I hope that that makes you feel brave to do the same. I think children have so much to teach us about their willingness to extend forgiveness. I think it's really beautiful and powerful and actually a challenge and encouragement to me. And then once I feel like I had kind of owned up my part of it, I got to tell him about his part in it, or rather ask him some questions about it, of like, hey, do you have any ideas of why you think in that moment mommy was super frustrated and feeling really overwhelmed? And it's not rocket science. He was able to be like, yeah, well, Jack was crying and, you know, Will was chasing a fly around with a plastic sword or whatever happened to be happening at the moment. And he totally knew. Like, he's emotionally intelligent enough as a 7-year-old that he actually was able to really reflect and go like, yeah, I get it. Now, that doesn't justify it. That still doesn't justify yelling or saying sassy things or talking to each other with disrespect. But I do actually think that that was a moment for him to learn some emotional intelligence. And if I would not have reacted in a way that did require asking for forgiveness, one, I wouldn't have had the opportunity to model just admitting your mistakes and asking for forgiveness. Two, he would not actually have had the opportunity in a safe and non-flooded place to reflect on his own actions and his kind of part in the dance, right? And that's what relationships are. I don't believe in shielding my children from the reality of relationships, which is we impact one another. We affect one another. My words and my actions actually do matter. And I never want my kids to feel an inappropriate weight for my emotional response to them. I do want them to learn and to know that they move about in a way in the world that impacts people and that they have the opportunity to be aware of that and to choose and kind of understand the impact that they have on people that they are in relationship with, because I think it's literally the most important part of being a human. And I think one of the most important things that I can do as a parent is to teach them the real basics of how respectful, loving, mutually satisfying, and beneficial relationships work. In the work, frankly, that is involved in cultivating those things. I was reading last week a book called Think Again by Adam Grant. I love Adam Grant. If you don't follow him or read his things, I highly recommend it. But I was reading Think Again, and it talked about how they were kind of like measuring, I believe it was emotional robustness or resilience and problem solving in kids from different types of home environments. And what they ended up finding is that children that existed in homes that had a lot of conflict without resolution ended up being pretty not really well equipped. They were anxious. Maybe they were avoidant. Maybe they had anger problems. Kids that grew up in very peaceful homes that just didn't have conflict actually had really similar outcomes. It is the kids that were in homes that actually had a fair amount of conflict. And again, there are parameters on this. We're talking about like normal everyday conflict, not situations of like abuse. But kids that were in homes where they were regularly witnessing or a part of conflict, but they were also pretty regularly witnessing or a part of the repair process, fared the best as adults. And so I just want to encourage you. I want to encourage you, and maybe, you know, maybe the reason that I am so obsessed with failures and mistakes and pluck ups is because I make more than the average bear, frankly, honestly. You know, don't they say that people are fascinated by their, like, I don't know, I feel like it's the particular thorn in their side. So maybe the particular thorn in my life is that I just happen to be an expert in making mistakes, and that's why I'm so fascinated about it. But I just want to encourage you, especially if you're a mama or a dada or dada, that sounded weird to say. Why does mama sound weird but dada sounds bizarre? I don't know. We could dive into that later. If you are a parent or you are a caregiver and you are just feeling frustrated or overwhelmed or feeling really hard on yourself or feeling like you keep making those same mistakes over and over again and you're feeling guilty and you're feeling like you're a bad parent, I really want to just encourage you and to say, actually, what if the thing that you're beating yourself up on is actually an opportunity to cultivate trust, to teach and train your kids about their own self-talk, about how they regulate, how we both regulate after we make mistakes? What if it is actually one of the greatest gifts that you could give to your kids isn't being more perfect or making less mistakes and plucking up less, but instead being really intentional and really brave? Because I use the word brave, and that might sound dramatic because it's like, okay, we're talking about kids. It is a brave thing to apologize to a five-year-old and to own your stuff. It is humbling. It's oddly scary because every time I do it, and I've done it 500 times, I still feel this sense of like, oh, but if I go first and admit that I was wrong, I'm somehow justifying their behavior, or I'm somehow, I don't know, giving them power over me. And maybe I'm a weirdo and you're going to find it a lot easier than I do, but I still sometimes find this like in my body going like, no, just send them to their room or just hold the line and give the consequence. And by the way, those two things can totally go together in the sense of you can still issue consequences and have repair. I don't think that those things are mutually exclusive, but I think it's a really brave and courageous thing. And I want to create, and I want to be a part of a community of parents who are trying less to be perfect and to make less mistakes, and who instead are more committed to being intentional and thoughtful about how we deal with the mistakes that we will inevitably make, so that we can raise a whole generation of kids who go out, who take risks, who pluck up, who become who they are created to be, because the fear of messing up doesn't hold a lot of power over them, because the person that they love and they admire and they respect more in the world showed them over and over again, as my little in the middle would say, it's okay, we all make mistakes. And now you have something to talk about at the dinner table. Thanks so much for joining me on this little nugget of a plucking up episode, plucking up and parenting. I am so grateful that you're here. And as always, I love to hear from the pluckies in our community. You can find me on Instagram. I am at Liz Bohannon. And until next time, stay plucky.